This is Corwin Fergus, Dreamtime, February 7th, 1990.
The next dream I want to go into has similarities to the previous dream. And actually, I was struck by working on all of these dreams, how they connected in several ways that I was initially not aware of. For one, they're all wintertime dreams. The dreamer of this dream, who I will call Karen, is an artist in her mid-20s. She had recently completed art school and come to Europe to live with her lover and to escape the pressures of the father world, both in a personal and collective sense. Similarly to Wendy, she was experiencing a time of creative stagnation, simultaneously with an internal pressure to be productive. I've chosen dreams of artists because the processes artists go through are the same archetypal human processes we all go through, only perhaps more exaggerated, and in this way easier to use as examples. So here's the dream. I'm in an Italian hilltop town where Momo lives. The town is mostly a ruin, the result of an earthquake. At the station, I stand before a food machine. The grated glass looks like many crosses. I don't know what I shall have. Then in the top row, I see a bottle on which it is written, cool fresh water. This is what I choose. I wake from the dream with the words in between time in my mind. I read through it one more time. I'm in an Italian hilltop town where Momo lives. The town is mostly a ruin, the result of an earthquake. At the station, I stand before a food machine. The grated glass looks like many crosses. I don't know what I shall have. Then in the top row, I see a bottle on which is written cool fresh water. This is what I choose. I wake from the dream with the words in between time and mind. Karen had recently read Michael Ende's book Momo. Momo is the story of a young girl who is able to defeat the time thieves, men in gray, to steal people's time, by convincing them that they can save it. She does this by going to the place where time comes from with the help of a magical turtle, who moves very slowly, but always manages to arrive at the right moment. At the source of time, and when time stops, Momo is able to redeem time, and people are able to live again in the way they did before time became quantified. The subject of time is well suited to a child's story, as it is ever present. It is so ever present that it takes the clarity of a childlike innocence to see the obvious. Momo's town in the dream, Karen said, resembled the hilltop villages of southern Italy, where her father's family is from. The time of Karen's father's world, like the time of Momo finds herself in, is a time whose worth is equated with productivity and accomplishment. Time becomes something one assumes to be able to save or accumulate only when one has become convinced to its quantity. This is a situation of collective consciousness also associated with the symbol of the bottle. The dream town is in a ruin, the result of an earthquake. Earthquakes like storms, volcanic eruptions, or avalanches can be seen as the passions of nature. Earthquakes shake things up. If one has a big stake in the established order or a fear of disorder, they are experienced as tragic or at least as disorienting. If one is in nature, in harmony with nature, an earthquake can feel orgasmic, energizing, and renewing. In the dream, it brings ruin to established structures. Perhaps an angry earth goddess shaking to pieces the structures of the patriarchal order and its chronological time frame. The station is a place of comings and goings,
a place of ways crossing. Here, there is a food machine with gridded glass, another image of intersection. Karen said the gridded glass reminded her of many crosses, and that these evoked feelings of religious ambivalence from her childhood. A strong feeling for the living presence of God on the one hand, and the hypocrisy she felt in the church and in her family's religious attitudes on the other. Ambivalence comes again in the image of the food machine itself. Food generally symbolizes nourishment of all kinds. Karen is, however, repulsed by the junky packaged food which she associates with packaged organized religion. Ambivalence is a characteristic of the transitional state. While the ego tends to operate in terms of either-or to effect change, the self is often rather more interested in the energy contained within conflict, altering the personality, than it is in the resolution of the conflict itself. I'm going to jump ahead now to the final image, in between time. This dream has the feeling of having two concluding images. The bottle of cool, fresh water, which ends the dream proper, and the words in between time, spoken in the transition between waking and dreaming. In between time has been ritualized in archaic culture. It is the liminal time of initiation, when the initiate can transition from one life phase to another, from an old role in the tribe or group to a new one, is literally a non-member in the group. His or her old identity has ceased, and only when the initiation ritual is complete does a new identity emerge. Time comes to a stop, and with the resolution of the ceremony, a new time is born. This is hard to grasp from a Western linear perspective, mostly because time has been abstracted from nature, no longer intimately bound to birth, death, creation, and destruction. In the Mayan calendar, for instance, each day is a different god. One of the interconnected cycles of time is based on the 260 days of the human gestative cycle. Another is based on the year with 12 30-day months, and a five-day period when time stops at the end of one year before the beginning of the next. Any significant change, interchange to a new life phase, or a new conscious attitude requires first the death of the old and then the enduring of a gestative period before new forms can come into being. Such an experience by nature feels deadening and is best expressed in the mythology of the underworld journeys. From the perspective of a linear time notion, this phase of a process is seen as regression. Jung writes of regression as, quote, the effort to adapt to the conditions of the psychic inner world. He goes on to say, quote, it is characteristic that the monster begins the night sea journey to the east, i.e. towards sunrise, while the hero is engulfed in its belly. This seems to me to indicate that regression is not necessarily a retrograde step in the sense of a backwards development or degeneration, but rather represents a necessary phase of development. The individual is, however, not consciously aware that he is developing. He feels himself to be in a compulsive situation that resembles an early infantile state or even an embryonic condition within the womb. Much of the analytic arc has to do with enabling and containing this phase of development. With Karen, our work focused largely on thwarting her tendencies toward aborting her inner process by forcing an outer solution in response to her feeling of stagnation. Fortunately, such efforts usually fail, and one suffers unnecessarily pretty much in direct proportion to one's persistence in them. Ambivalence is a frequent condition of the liminal in-between time state, because in the unconscious, a relatively timeless sphere, things exist in conjunction or close proximity to their opposite. Choice becomes difficult, meaningless, or arbitrary. If one remains true to one's instincts, one often finds oneself crucified between seemingly unacceptable alternatives. Jung's image of the transcendent function, where a third factor arises spontaneously to unite previously irreconcilable opposites in a new attitude of consciousness, was taken from the image of the crucifixion, where Christ is torn between his faith in the kingdom of heaven and his cry of, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The resurrection being the third factor which transcends the conflict of the original situation in a manner unknowable from within the conflict itself. There is a quality of unlikeliness that often characterizes the appearance of such a third factor, which initially may seem unrelated to the situation dominating one's conscious concerns. A bottle of cool fresh water in Karen's dream is certainly an unlikely thing to find in a junk food machine. Karen said she would never buy water, it's just there, yet in the dream it is clearly what I want. Water is a symbol for the source of all life. The oceans are where life originated, and water is what organic life is chiefly composed of. It is an image of the arcanum in alchemy because it is a symbol of totality. In its pervasiveness is expressed how immediately at hand is the very essence after which we search. Fresh water captures the personal element of the symbol of water, as one can drink fresh water, take it into oneself, and assimilate it. In the dream, it is what Karen sees amongst the packaged collected audience when she looks through the gridded glass, suggesting the ambivalence of her religious upbringing. To purchase the fresh water would need to value this accessible aspect of the source, something previously taken for granted, and to find amongst the dubious trappings of her religious heritage a basic religious attitude, a faith in the psyche to renew itself. But there will come a way in which to proceed meaningfully when the time is right. In between time, when meaning or momentum is lost, when time stops, consciousness, like the character Momo, must go to the source of time, into the unconscious, the timeless eternal realm, where time can be renewed and a new phase of life begun. This endeavor forms the core of most archaic religion, where usually at the winter solstice there is an attempt to restore, if only momentarily, the mythical primordial time, the time of the instant of creation, so that each new year is a resumption of time from the beginning. I want to switch gears now and finish with some visual images. But first, maybe take some time for any questions or comments before that. Okay, well, I'll just say a couple words about the images then. When I began to work on my thesis, I was simultaneously making images that seemed related to what was coming up with the work. And then a few months ago when I began to think about talking about it again, there was also a time of image making. And then each time, sort of after the beginning stage, as the process became more formulating into words, then there wasn't so much image making going on, but these sort of both then come from kind of initial phases of thinking about the ideas. The first 20 or so are from about 3 years ago, and the last 9 or 10 are from a few months ago this fall, and the last couple are in collaboration with Denise Benchuk. Somebody, pull the lights.
And that is the end of the tape. Copyright C.G. Jung Society, Seattle, and the speaker. All rights reserved. No copying, please.